Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
Okay.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial, and with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown, and through adaptable problem solving, we do just that. Learn more at marines.com.
Look, we play for fun, and I hope you...
No, we don't. We play for the £50,000.
Yeah, we ain't winning it.
Not this year, no.
The Fantasy Football Show.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to Planet Sky FF, the world where everything revolves around £50,000. For James. My name's Such.
It doesn't involve for my name's James, doesn't involve for me either. I don't think anymore, mate. Did you have a bad week, did you?
Let's play a little guessing game, shall we?
Oh,
I'm going to
name
eight players, and I want you to tell me their combined points total in the last game week.
I'm gonna guess about 13.
Sanchez.
None.
Diaz.
None.
Ben White. Rafinha.
Ben White was minus one, I think.
Rafinha.
None.
Huang.
2-pointer. It's got to
be. Kane.
2-pointer.
Antonio.
2-pointer.
Havertz.
2-pointer.
So between the eight of those bastards,
seven.
How many points did they score
seven,
me,
isn't
James?
It? Is it seven?
And when Salah and Cancelo, basically everyone captain Salah, everyone captain Cancelo.
No,
so
not quite.
Well, enough good people did. So
by the way, if you captain Kane, you're not necessarily bad.
There's nothing. Soulless. Like 7 points from eight players. Three blanks.
So I'm
and a minus.
I'm guessing your other good player was Rudiger.
Yeah.
Or have you got Gallagher?
Nope.
You haven't got Conor Gallagher?
Nope.
Fuck. We can't even fix that for you.
I can't fix this right now because Huang comes up now against Norwich and Brentford. Then,
Burnley.
I'm not selling him. St. Maximin, okay, he's got a difficult fixture this week, but then who does he play in the next two after that? Norwich and Burnley.
Have you still got Gray?
No, I never owned Gray all season. I've got Ward-Prowse, so I can come off Ward-Prowse after Liverpool and move to somebody that's playing on Sunday. So he's the only player, other than perhaps Ben White, but Ben White's sticking around for that single game day captaincy for me against Everton. So I don't know who am I binning for what? I'm just stuck with shit players.
Depressing. I mean... It's interesting you don't have Gallagher. You've got Cancelo and Salah, obviously, right?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it kind of feels like... I mean, looking at the ownership of Cancelo's... I bought Cancelo on Sunday.
I only bought him because you bought him and captained him. So I said, sod it, I'm going to do the same.
He's now in 94.3% of the top 1,000 teams, Cancelo. Conor Gallagher is now in 91.5% of the top 1,000. Salah is 99.7%.
Who are the three?
So it kind of feels like once you're above 90% ownership, you're effectively writing them off as competitive players within the game.
Exactly.
Basically an eight-player game.
So every and my eight players.
You don't have one of them.
And my players, eight players, scored 7 points between them. The thing is, and that's though, including two transfers, mate. What
arguably,
a disaster.
Arguably, I don't know if Gallagher's worth chasing for you at this stage.
Nah, I don't even know when I get on and get off. I mean,
we'll talk about it. Like he's arguably default captaincy next Tuesday now.
Mm.
When they travel to Leeds because of the ownership, and actually in a new plan I've plotted, Serge. There's possibly two more captaincies for him in December that I'm looking at when they when they play Southampton at home, which is the Wednesday night that Arsenal play West Ham, and then there's a Saturday fixture against Watford.
If
I don't have Ronaldo, there isn't another alternative great standout, and because of his ownership, I might just default him.
I may do Ward-Prowse to Gallagher this Saturday. I know it's not a fixture game. But Villa at home for Crystal Palace, Liverpool away for Ward-Prowse.
Do you know what? I'm not big on ever doing that at all. I try and avoid it kind of at all costs. But it's also going to put you, what, $1 million in your bank as well?
Yeah.
I mean, it's difficult to make a case at the moment that Ward-Prowse will be outscoring Conor Gallagher. But then you're quite far behind. What's your rank, like 10K or something?
A bit more.
Really?
Mm.
All right, we've got to help you. 11.
It's not for lack of trying. It's just for lack of players not returning. I mean, Ben White minus one.
I think when you're that far off, it's like, do you want to just kind of make a transfer on a budget midfield in Nabilard just because everyone else has got him? Arguably, you go against. I mean, it's not like James Ward-Prowse is probably on pens for Liverpool. He's on all the set pieces. It does mean he can return in just about any game. So do you even want to? I think it's something you should really consider, though. I'd imagine, Suj, most of the listeners would be listening and say, Suj, just do that, mate. Just go Ward-Prowse to Gallagher on Saturday and then open up the money. I think that's the bigger plus side.
After they stop laughing.
Yeah.
It happens, right? You get these game weeks.
So what did you score? Like 60?
Just 80-odd.
Oh, 80-odd. Yeah, obviously massively made up by Salah and Cancelo. I mean, it could have been worse, right? You could have captained Kane quite easily over Cancelo because it wasn't an obvious easy choice. No, my outlook on it was, as long as he was in the team, and we obviously had the blessing of seeing it, it was an absolute certainty for the passing tier. Certainty. Mm. Clean sheet was probably the most confident I'd have even felt about Manchester City in any game this season because Everton are just impotent at the moment. And then you know if an attacking return's coming with it, you're in.
Mm.
And that's it. I mean, the 13-pointer is no surprise, is it, from Cancelo?
No.
And I looked at that and went, well, I'm not sure Kane will get that. Even if he scores, eats a shot here, what's he on, 9, 10 points? Mm. Probably needed two attacking returns to outdo what Cancelo was going to do. So, but listen, I completely get why people would have gone with Kane over Cancelo. But interestingly, there's obviously a lot of Man City lineups coming up in forthcoming game weeks. Like obviously, we get West Ham Sunday. As it stands, I go Cancelo again over Kane, even against you, because I look at it again and think, well, it's an absolute certainty Parsons here again.
100%, yeah. They're going to dominate the ball, no doubt.
With against you, because you like the standoff and stuff anyway, and it will suit you in this particular fixture. If clean sheet and attacking returns can come with it. I'd look at Kane and go, can Kane score at Burnley? Yeah, cool. Just fancy him. Is he likely to go big in that fixture? No. I think Cancelo's ceiling is higher in majority of games. The following midweek Wednesday, he's got Villa away. Now, the difference with that one, and you will see the team, is, of course, Mo Salah's playing the same night. Mm. So it becomes a tighter choice.
How did you do this week?
Who, me? Oh, I'm just going way too far ahead, aren't I? 91 points for myself. I think differences
between
us. Which
also doesn't feel great. Was it a green arrow or a red arrow or a grey arrow?
Slight green, but then I made two transfers.
Right.
So effectively, no, not really. I'm 2.5K basically. Rudiger 14-pointer. I guess one differential for me, Laporte 9-pointer. But then there's so many people out there with double Chelsea defence. I've got the double City. Gallagher's assist. Salah, Cancelo. I've got nothing else either, Suj. Alvaro Fernandez, 3-pointer in a 3-3 draw. Take that. Little shots here. So I made two transfers. One which everybody knew was very planned, which was Antonio to Cancelo. So on Sunday, wife's badgering me, we need to take Harry out for a bit before you go to the games. So I was meeting a few people at Spurs, so I'm going to go quite early. So I had to take him down the park. So obviously, I'm in the park when the City team drops. Cancelo's in it. Great. Fine. Cool. Buy him for Antonio. Stick the armband on it. Fine. No Diaz.
I left it. You obviously did something about it.
Yeah, I sold him. Mate, I sold him about 158. I bought Cancelo and I just went, my conclusion and my plan was I was going Diaz to Ronaldo in a few weeks. Fine. I know Ruben Diaz can get left out any game. Literally put the phone away, carried on with my life. And then literally about 5-2, I remembered all the things I've been saying about, I want to get Son, but he just doesn't work for me. He doesn't work for me. And it worked. That, and that was it. It was the obvious solution for me, was to buy Son for Diaz. Know that in terms of escape route for Son, I've got the Everton-Arsenal Monday night fixture and can go to an Arsenal player then, bearing in mind that I don't have any Arsenal coverage and was thinking about going Gray to Smith Rowe anyway, the night that Arsenal play Manchester United next Thursday. And so came to the conclusion that even worst case, right, so if I decide I'm not going to shove that to an Aubameyang or a Smith Rowe on that Monday night fixture, fine, go to Ronaldo. The following Saturday when United play Norwich away and then Tottenham go to Brighton on a Sunday and just say, do you know what? It's another one. There's no gain. But, okay, fine. That's me going into best possible fixture for Ronaldo. So obviously at that point, when you're making a transfer at 2:02, you haven't got the full plan. Now that transfer's obviously not worked because he hasn't returned, but it's obviously based on all four fixtures. And I felt being behind at the moment, I'm with something a little bit differential, like my double City. The plan here obviously was to have treble City defensively. And I just thought, you know what? I'm coming off Diaz soon anyway. Let's do it. And that was the conclusion I came to. So Son, I've got Son and Kane now at the moment. Son definitely not a long-term hold. Kane, the plan was to hold him all through December in any case. So that doesn't change anything.
Yesterday, we were originally going to pre-record yesterday and didn't. But when we were talking about it, you said to me, oh, I've got a big plan. And it intrigued me. And I think the listeners will be interested as well. So you've been planning a little bit longer term with your transfers and strategy. What makes more sense for us to talk about the master plan or for us to talk about captaincy in the next week first?
We'll probably talk about my plan first and then we'll talk about the captaincy for other people and stuff.
Good.
Where I'm now sitting, I've got 1.1 million in the bank and obviously got now an immediate problem, which I don't mind having because, as I said, he was going to go for me anyway. I was not fussed about keeping him for just that Monday night fixture because the escape routes were so brutal for Everton. This is what when Everton played at Wolves, this is why I maintain, please buy a Wolves player. Because there are no escapes from the Everton players unless they get injured. They are always basically playing second. The only one, arguably, in terms of escape for Everton would have been after they play Liverpool. But then the next fixture is the Arsenal game that you want for the captaincy. Other than that, they're always on last going up till Boxing Day. And then your only escapes are Manchester United players anyway, which if you've got like Damari Gray's and stuff, that's not affordable. So there's no way of getting away. That's why I looked at Gray to Smith Rowe when Arsenal play Manchester United. So the fact Gray's injured and now is an easy sell kind of solves a problem, ironically, for me. I don't mind that. And the one I've come to is, the one I've also said to you is, there's no entry point, is Brighton.
Mm-hmm.
So I think this is right time for me to go Adam Webster. So my intention is to go Gray to Webster this weekend. Brighton's fixtures are a little bit indifferent, but they're solid as they are arguably the fourth best team in this league in terms of defensive passing tiers. In fact, they are, basically.
Yep. And so Webster, we now think, is...
He played at Villa. That's good enough for me. That's all I needed, was him back in the team at some point. So he's back in the team now. I think even if they go back four, it's Webster and Dunk, therefore. So, I mean, Webster's back in. He'll stay in the team now. So go Webster. He's 7 million. He's probably worth the saving on Dunk. Dunk will clearly outscore him, I'm fairly certain. Though if they do stay the way they did at the weekend, and all three of them had very similar totals, Duffy played centrally at a three again. Oh, and guess what? They got beat.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I've done this cycle months ago with you. So I think Duffy played because of Villa's height in terms of long throws and stuff, which I don't think they particularly utilise now they've changed manager. I think Veltman will go back into the back three, and I think Webster will stay in. Dunk will go back centrally, which will be good for Dunk. So that leaves me 1.9 million in the blank. As I said, Sun Tzu, Arsenal player, when they play Everton, to give me the coverage that night. So
preference Aubameyang, being Aubameyang, of course,
is cheaper than Sun. And Aubameyang's fixtures over a little period there is not bad. Everton, Southampton, West Ham, Leeds, Norwich, Wolves. And then there's more escape. Plan to get rid of Mbeumo after the Brentford-Watford fixture. And I've spoke about West Ham being an entry point again on Sunday, December the 12th. So I'll have enough comfortably there to go Mbeumo to Bowen. And then that will leave me 1.4 million in the bank. I will go Salah to Ronaldo. The plan, therefore, is now not to get Ronaldo until December the 27th. So that is keep Salah for Boxing Day against Leeds, losing for Leicester away, Chelsea away, gamble against it for the two games, and then he's likely to go to the African Nations. He could miss the Chelsea game. I don't think he will. And that also leaves me enough money exactly for at any point, should I need it, Aubameyang to Bruno Fernandes to give me the coverage for when inevitably Ronaldo is rested for one of them Christmas fixtures.
Yeah.
That's the exact money. Now, that's the plan. That means now going, we've spoken about three Ronaldo ideas, right? One is you just go and get him and you have the three big players up front together, Ronaldo, Kane, Salah, covers you all the best captaincy in December, although there is a case to say, like I think this Sunday, Cancelo again. There is a case on a Tuesday night when United go to Brentford. I'd have no problem captaining Cancelo at home to Leeds if he's in the team. So I'm not bothered about that one. But yeah, you can go all three. There's the hop on, hop off, obviously, which would mean buying Ronaldo Sunday the 5th when United play Crystal Palace. You will have Ronaldo versus Palace, Norwich, Brentford. You will miss Salah at home to Villa. Then you go back to Salah on the Thursday when they play Newcastle. You'd have Salah for Newcastle, Tottenham, Leeds. You would miss Ronaldo at home to Brighton. And then you switch it back up again for another three games. But I think once you switch that back up because of the AFCON, you don't go back to Salah. Which also means probably missing Salah, I imagine. His ownership would be fascinating when they play Crystal Palace on the final day, which we now know that's overhaul day, Sunday the 23rd, once those games are concluded. And then we've got a period of 10 days, I want to say, at least before a February midweek set of fixtures. I feel like it might even be 2 weeks, actually. 2.5 weeks, possibly. But I may not follow through on this plan. And, of course, you can follow my plan, which is possibly saying, look, no Ronaldo till the Newcastle game because Salah, Cancelo and Kane cover it off. The only other player I'd be using for captaincy, bar the two single game days, obviously, would possibly be using Gallagher a couple of times just by default because of the ownership. Ronaldo against Brighton would be the one where you'd say, okay, yeah, look, he's definitely the best. But Ben Chilwell's injury last night's got me thinking, Suj.
Alonso?
He's 7.9. Now, we haven't got the prognosis of Chilwell at the moment, but I've been so far behind on Chelsea assets compared to everybody else, and they're just a juggernaut, aren't they? Let's be honest.
Especially defensively, yeah.
Now, Alonso, like Chilwell, Reece James, extremely unlikely to pick up passing tier. It's not like the case it is with the Liverpool fullbacks or the City fullbacks. The Chelsea wingbacks are extremely unlikely to get the passing tiers. But Marcus Alonso, I pick up shot tiers for you, mate.
Yeah, and attacking returns galore. make up for the tier points.
And I feel like at 7.9, if there's a prognosis that Ben Chilwell's out for a couple of months and it didn't look good last night, you know, fingers crossed he's all right and stuff. But then that gateway opens up for Alonso. So instead, I could go Gray to Alonso, considering I've got four in midfield at the moment. Go Gray to Alonso on Sunday. Just go with that. And it would leave me still the exact money to go Sun to Ronaldo at the point I wanted to. Now, then that makes other things more awkward, like how do I ever get rid of Mbeumo, for example, becomes really awkward. Because then I'm on a three-man midfield and I've got Mbeumo, Gallagher and Rafinha. I'd probably need to be shoving Rafinha to think about shoving Mbeumo.
Yep.
So it becomes complicated. And I haven't re-looked at doing that as a plan, but I must give some consideration to what I do with Marcus Alonso at 7.9. If he's going to get a sustained run, and I see with the way they've been playing, I see no reason why he won't. He's not going to play every single game. But what a weapon he is.
Mm.
7.9 if he's going to play regularly for Chelsea.
Yeah,
it'd be their top goal scorer. You know that.
It's worth well, considering that the way they share the goals around at Chelsea. Yeah, I don't think that he'll be far from in and around the numbers. Very interesting option coming up with Marcus Alonso. So the next week we have midweek fixtures as part of the same match day. Let's cover off the captaincy for this little period. I think there's some days that are obvious and some less so. Saturday, are you perma-captaining Salah against Southampton at home? Is that your...
Well, I don't... In my plan, which is if I go for this kind of changed route, which means not getting Ronaldo till December the 27th, I'd Salah captain every time he plays.
Mm. And
just not worth it. There's nothing in there fixture-wise that is tough enough. The only one that I think is a debate, really... He's like I said, there's a night where Cancelo plays as well. So Salah plays Everton away, Cancelo plays Villa away. Mm. All right, it's arguably a debate.
What about this Sunday? We talked about Cancelo versus Kane. It's Cancelo home to West Ham. You're going to go Cancelo.
I'm going to go Cancelo, yeah. As long as he's in the team, I see no reason why he won't be. I'd find that quite straightforward. I don't see Harry Kane going big. As I said to you yesterday, Tarkowski and Westwood being suspended for Burnley is good news. But I would be surprised if Kane got more than one. Mm. Therefore, for me, Cancelo's ceiling is just much higher, even in spite of the fact of playing West Ham.
Yeah, I don't think there's a clean sheet in it for Cancelo.
No, there may not be.
But an attacking return and a tier two passing, good enough.
You would think it's minimum five, wouldn't you?
Mm, it's definitely minimum five. Unless, obviously, we batter him 4-0 and he gets minus
and
points.
And a Kane assist is the same. Mm. So, I just think Cancelo's ceiling's a bit higher at the moment. Now, Kane's other two fixtures against Brentford and Norwich, I definitely want to captain him, by the way. That's absolute locking. It's not really a debate unless you've got Ronaldo for those particular days, in my opinion.
On the Tuesday night, a lot of people own Rafinha. A lot of people own Gallagher. I'm going with neither because, unlike a lot of people, I own Saint-Maximin. So I think Norwich at home for him is who I'm going to go with. It's a very rare opportunity to be differential with the choice when the other options are good, but not necessarily, you know. It's not Norwich at home for Salah, for example, that I'm going against. So I'm going to be going with Alain Saint-Maximin at home to Norwich on the Tuesday.
Just one final point just on the Sunday fixtures. Obviously, if you've got Vardy at home to Watford, I'd be tempted.
Mm-hmm.
I don't feel like many people do at the moment. So for me, it's going to be a choice between Gallagher, Rafinha. Now, I presume Rafinha is going to be back and well enough by then. It's a close call. I just wonder at the moment, with our ownership with Gallagher, if I captain Gallagher and Rafinha does well, I might still be winning.
Mm.
Because I think that, you've got to think so many people are going to captain Gallagher. So I take that route, I'm winning with both. Whereas if I go Rafinha, I'm really wanting Gallagher to blank hard. So by default, and I don't like it, because I'd prefer Rafinha as the choice, I may just, that ownership's so big, I might just go Gallagher, mate.
Mm.
It's not like Palace can't win at Leeds, right?
No.
We're very impressed with them at the moment. So at the moment, I've got it marked down for Gallagher for Tuesday.
And what about the Wednesday? I'm looking at it here. Obviously, we've got Salah's playing Everton away. Rudiger, Watford away.
Yeah,
pair of hands. Cancelo, Villa away. Safe pair of hands.
Yeah. There's a debate to be had. I think it's probably
I'm bust on Rudiger. I don't know why. They just scored four against United. That says
yes.
a lot.
Yes. I think there is a debate to be said that obviously you arguably want to go for the Chelsea player to be winning defensively. Yeah, but then guess what? You're going to be massively losing against Cancelo and Salah. So you can't have it all that night. I think at the moment I've got it. I would have it bust on Salah at the moment just because I've I think Everton are in a really, really bad place at the moment, and it's difficult to see him not returning in that game. But again, I tell you what, if Cancelo's in that team at Villa, again, it's an absolute certainty, minimum 5 points
mm-hmm.
if he plays the game. Villa aren't going to have a lot of the ball. No, they're not going to change dramatically under Steven Gerrard this quickly. But I would have it on Salah that night at the moment, I think.
And then the Thursday night, Harry Kane, your time to shine.
Yeah, it would definitely be Kane for those Thursday, Sunday fixtures for me. And I would pick him over Ronaldo on those 2 days anyway, if I owned both. So, yeah, those are the two big ones for Kane. His ownership shot up as well. It's well above 60%.
Yeah, and I think maybe it just shows they will get even higher as well.
I think it just shows with this game that he's obviously not in form, right? But fixtures. It's the FOMO of knowing what Harry Kane could have been or might be in these four fixtures have meant people gone, I've got to cover that off. And I think he's going to be mass captained those two nights. I think way more than Ronaldo personally for the Brentford and the Norwich games. So that'd be Kane for me.
Good, good.
What's your plan with Saint-Maximin before you move on, Serge?
I'm going to keep him for the next three, at least. And then I'll probably move him on after that. So just looking here, I'll definitely keep him for the Burnley game. And then from the Burnley game, I can move off on the Sunday to somebody who's playing like maybe a United asset.
So you could move to Gallagher then.
Yeah, they've got United away, which is not a great fixture, but I think Palace will give them a tough time. So
then after that, look at Palace's
Gallagher.
Look at Palace's five fixtures after United: Everton at home, Southampton at home, Watford away, Tottenham away, Norwich at home.
It's decent.
There's still good. There's still good fixtures, right?
Yeah, I think Saint-Maximin to Gallagher then makes sense for me. And I'm missing for Gallagher. I'm missing Villa and Leeds. So there's points there, but Saint-Maximin's got three fixtures in that time, including Norwich and Burnley.
How many you got in midfield? Three or four?
At the moment, I have four.
So you'd still have four. So, I mean, Ward-Prowse can go to something on Sunday, possibly, can't he?
This week.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
How much in the bank?
0.1.
That's not a lot.
But it's enough for Marcus Alonso.
It is enough for Marcus Alonso. It's interesting, isn't it? We're going to get burnt on this, aren't we?
Yeah, we are.
By the time we've released the podcast, Ben Chilwell has suffered heavy bruising and still has a chance of playing on Sunday. Is what it'll be, won't it?
Nightmare.
I haven't decided if I'm going to go for him yet or not, by the way, but I think it's important to make people aware that
it's cheap and a good option.
Yeah. Yeah. And they've obviously the goal scoring fullbacks / wingbacks this year, Cancelo, Trent, James, and obviously Chilwell. Alonso, I think we know, can replicate the potential attacking output of Ben Chilwell. 7.9 feels like good if he's going to play up to overhaul. It feels pretty strong to me. Yeah.
Should we look at some of the questions we've had in on Twitter?
Yes, sir.
We've had plenty in. Shout out to Benny Blanco. If you missed the previous deadline, Sud style, and didn't make the Kane transfer, do you still move to him this week or try and avoid and ride it out? This whole missing the deadline thing, I think I'm going to start a little, my own club, Hall of Shame club. So because Ricky Saunders missed the deadline in FPL earlier this season. Now we've got Benny joining the club as well. It happens to the best of us. Luke missed the deadline a little what last year as well.
There you go. Look, there's a niche content idea for you. 2 minutes after deadline, start spaces on Twitter. I've missed the deadline.
I need to learn how spaces work first.
Yeah, me too.
I've joined a few spaces and then people invite me to speak and I'm like, I don't want to speak. So I decline.
Did you hear Declan last night? I'm guessing you did.
No.
Declan. You haven't heard Declan Rice rapping last night?
No.
Oh, wow. Well, no, I'll speak to you about it after.
Okay.
He was very good.
No, he wasn't.
He was. He sang Rice, Rice, Baby, didn't
on,
he?
On Spaces.
On Spaces, yeah.
Oh, dear. You can never get that stuff back. That's the only annoying thing with Spaces. I'm sure someone screen grabbed it or something.
You could buy Declan Rice, even. You could go Ward-Prowse to Declan Rice on Sunday. I've heard worse ideas than that, mate.
Mm. Well, what should Benny do?
Avoid that'll open up some money.
Avoid Kane Benny's now question. Or ride it out?
No, buy him.
Buy him. Done.
I'd still buy him. Yeah, for me, you're covering of his next three fixtures. He's the best choice for captaincy in two. There's plenty you'll be listening to think all three of them. So for me, yeah, still a buy.
Darren, also a close. If you were getting another City defender alongside Cancelo and didn't have the money for Diaz, who would you get? I'm thinking only for three games, so it's a short-term move. Walker?
I think who's going to play three games?
Walker? Laporte?
I mean, I prefer Laporte. Does he play? I've got Laporte. Will he play all three games? I doubt it.
I'd get Walker.
I certainly think that there is something which Luke Saywood highlighted to me in the summer about potential trend of Laporte coming back in is good for Cancelo. And I think there's something in that. Like, if Cancelo was to get injured, I think it's very bad news for me and Laporte as well, actually. It could be a double whammy hard. I think Laporte. But is he going to play all three games? They play, and there's a number of teams who do it, are playing Sunday, Wednesday, Saturday. So I get that. So there's a number of kind of three-for-ones coming up. Ironically, the two clubs probably to jump off for these three-for-ones, Sunday, Wednesday, Saturday jobs, are probably Arsenal or Villa, actually, ironically. So there'd be a number of people sitting there with Aubameyang. So I don't, you know, if someone's sitting there with Aubameyang and doesn't have Cancelo, you're making that move on Sunday, I think, for example. And then actually come back for Arsenal from something else when they play Everton on Monday the 6th, rather than holding it through. And then obviously you just miss Arsenal away to United. Villa players most people won't have. But I think if you're looking to move Martinez on, probably this Sunday you've got half the teams to choose from. You could, if you're still there, you can make a move off. Laporte, to answer the question, Serge, but because the fixtures are so close, it's a guessing game, isn't it?
Yep.
Guessing game.
Lee Jackson wants to know, if FPL adopted the Sky format for transfers, 40 for use at any time, but everything else stayed the same, do you think it would improve the game?
No.
I don't think either.
We had this on one of our Patreon pods recently. I said, how people spunk the transfers up the wall with Sky? I'd do that even more in FPL, mate. Just be three hit teams, and that would be the end of it, right? Oh, wild card, and then another six transfers. Log out, game week 5. That'll be it. So, no, I don't think it would, actually.
Yeah, I think having
people at like 2 million rank after 5-6 game weeks feeling sorry for themselves, not realising that everybody else has used 40 transfers.
Yeah, I find it as useful, debilitating as it is useful, having all your transfers up front. Like right now, I could make 2 or 3 or 4 transfers and completely change my team. But I also feel like I'd rather taking hits psychologically. At least I know what I'm spending to make my transfers. Whereas if I'm using some of my 40 transfers early, I don't know what opportunities further down the road that I'm missing out on. So I don't think it's necessarily a good idea. FPL Hambone, when will Brentford stop conceding so many goals? I want their keeper to become an option, but downgrading from Mendy just seems crazy, even when he's going to be away at the AFCON for a little bit.
No, I wouldn't do that. I know like Fergie's kind of debating the move to Ramsdale, I think specifically on Monday the 6th, which I don't mind actually. Because I think once you throw in a captaincy in there and there'll be a couple of extra fixtures for Ramsdale, I think they'll score very similarly till the end. Whether it's worth it or not, it's a different debate. But Mendy to Fernandes, no. The only thing you would say is if you are going for Brentford and you want the coverage for them for the Friday the 10th, the entry point really is now. By the way, a caution on that. Christian Norgaard is on 4 yellow cards. So is Aymeric Laporte, by the way, who I mentioned earlier.
How? He's not played any games.
Laporte?
Yeah.
Laporte's played majority of City games this season, mate.
Oh, sorry, yeah. I'm thinking, I'm going mad. I'm thinking Stones. I don't know why. Mixing the two bastards up.
What do you mean? What do you mean going? So I know a lot of people looking to downgrade to Norgaard and possibly think, oh, that covers me Watford as well. I mean, even worse is if he escapes the next two games, Leeds is the game before Watford. He's getting booked, mate.
Yeah, that's true.
So just be careful of that. Buying Norgaard's absolutely fine at 6.2. Just be cautious. If you are getting it specifically for the Friday night game, possibly give that a rethink. He's on 4 yellows. There's a Laporte, I know, is one is on 4 yellows as well. So that's probably bad advice to say him as the second City player. But yeah, you're at this stage now. Whenever you're buying a player, you should be checking how many yellow cards they're on. eats five yellows before 19th fixture, results in a one-game suspension. So there are a number of players on four yellows who are likely to hit a suspension at some point. There's a number of players on three yellows. I think Callum Wilson's another one. Sudge's on four yellows. I don't suppose anyone's going for him in Sky specifically. But he do have a couple of really nice home fixtures coming up where someone might fall into an injury problem and go, oh, I'll have Wilson for two games and jump. Be careful. Make sure when you're buying players, you check how many yellow cards they've got. Norgaard is definitely one on four yellows.
We've got in your dreams, if you wanted, he wants to move away from Antonio up top, gives him 11.6 for a premium defender, got Rüdiger and Cancelo. Who would you add? I'm going to suggest the name, James, that we haven't talked about much this season in VVD. He started the season slowly, no passing tiers. He has passing tiers in four of his last five games. So he's started picking up his kind of 10-pointer with the clean sheet type stuff, VVD. Is he in and amongst the mix? Because we've got a question further down as well. VVD to Chilwell or James, is it worth a transfer on Sunday? And also Michael Race was saying, do we need Chilwell or James? So premium defenders to add to Rüdiger's.
We're obviously not buying Chilwell now, which I also think makes the desperation to get Reece James far less. And we've spoken about Alonso quite a bit, which is possibly going to open up some money for you. Please wait for the prognosis on Chilwell first. On VVD, I could not make the case for him over Cancelo, Suge.
No, not over Cancelo, but in addition to. As another premium.
In addition to, fine, if it works for your budget and you're happy to pay that money, yes. Personally, I'd rather get Trent than VVD, actually. Because Trent is still capable of getting the passing tiers as well. We know he won't hit them like Van Dijk, but if teams play structurally against them, which forces Liverpool into fullback areas, I don't really know why you would do that. But then it does mean if the wide player playing against Trent pushes up against him, he'll hit plenty of passing tiers still anyway. So I would go Trent because the attacking threat on top of that is just massive, isn't it? Mm. You've also got even greater man of the match potential for Trent as well. So Trent over VVD for me, if you've got a choice between the two. I think this is a rare one with these attacking players. It's worth saying it won't. This with Trent, Cancelo, James, Chilwell, the trend will change again at some point. But really bizarrely, if someone went with all four of those at the moment, if Chilwell had stayed fit, I could completely understand that. Worth saying, I'm not convinced on having Chilwell or James over Rüdiger in this format. Rüdiger's going to play nearly every game, which is really important this time of year. He's passing tier most game weeks and still maintains a threat at set pieces. So I think in this format, I wouldn't move sideways Rüdiger to James, for example. No chance. I'm not saying I'd buy Rüdiger over the other ones, but I wouldn't be stressed about moving that. Same applies with City. Are you desperate to move sideways from Laporte to Cancelo? I think Diaz to Cancelo I can understand because of the saving in money. With the Liverpool guys, I would take Trent over Van Dijk personally. Again, I wouldn't move it sideways one way or the other.
We get the customary weekly question around how many transfers left, James, but this one's an interesting one from Brian Packham. I'm ranked in the top 60. He's got a team that he's very happy with. He's got all captains he's covered, brackets, Brian, don't forget injuries. And he's got a clear plan that only uses three more transfers until the overhaul. He's currently used 20 transfers, so he'll be down to 17. Looking at the averages, I'm concerned. Do you guys still think I have a chance of winning? 17 transfers out of overhaul, James. It's not too bad. You might want four or five more, but it's not too bad. And especially top 60 already and you're happy with your team.
I listened to Fergie and Paul on Hub yesterday while I was waiting for you before you delayed the podcast. And they were speaking about obviously transfer counts and what's left. And it's definitely a case to say, like, look, it's quite tight at the moment. You can make some ground now. Like their case was very much don't be reluctant to make transfers now. So if you're there with 17 left and there's, 15 game weeks left afterwards, that's fine. You got transfer week left. It's no problem at all. It's going to be some people who are going to be possibly high 20s subject to injuries, I think. I mean, my plan at the moment has got me on 24 left. You could say that's too many.
There my is definitely case, a case for too many.
My case on that would be, however, that we haven't had any of the carnage that we had last year. because of COVID and postponements and having double game weeks in January and stuff like that. Once we get into FA Cup stage, going to be clear and obvious 3-for-0s and stuff like that are going to start bouncing around in March, April. And although you can't see it now, I know I want some transfers for that period to make some gains. So we can look at it and go, well, 24 transfers for 15 game weeks is too much. It might be, but I can really steam into stuff at that stage that other people may not be able to. So I think it depends on what you want to do. Yes, you can make the changes now, but I also think there's a, like, don't do it for the sake of it if you're happy with what you've got. With what you've got. But if you need to do surgery, do it, right? Yeah. Because every week that passes, the want for the transfer now should be less and less. We've still got, what, 9-10 game weeks to go, Suj, in theory?
Two overall, yep.
I think it's 11 fixtures, is it, for every team? 6, 7, 8, 9, 11 fixtures left, right? So it's a long period. But with each passing week, the need for that transfer becomes less and less, right? None of us, in theory, I don't think on our plan, particularly want to be making a transfer in January till we all debate out if we should buy Ismaïla Sarr or Emmanuel Dennis before their potential single game day against Norwich. But generally, once you get into January and you've got, what, beyond New Year's Day, there's only 2 game weeks after that. You don't really want to be making any transfers. So I think it depends. If you want to be aggressive now for December, fine. If you're happy with your team, don't make transfers for the sake of it, because there will be gains. And we know this historically, right? That nearly everybody gets to the end and they're like, oh, God, I want to make that move, but I can't make it. I never want to be in that position where the move can't be made.
What's your thoughts? We've got a question from Dan. Do you have a plan for Lukaku if he hits some form?
Yeah, ignore him.
Simple. We have another couple of questions that have come in around a certain Spurs midfielder.
Oh, Pierre.
Yeah, Pierre.
I put him in the second team, actually.
Okay. What's your thoughts around him? Is he going to stay as a good Sky asset? We've got DB saying, even though you don't rate him under Conte, will Højbjerg continue to be a good Sky asset? TG bought Højbjerg instead of Smith Rowe on the weekend, which now actually leaves him with no captaincy coverage for Everton, Arsenal, Watford, Brentford. But should he keep Højbjerg now?
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Højbjerg will probably hit Parsons here at all the next 3 games against Burnley, Brentford and Norwich, I would think. And you could obviously pick up tackles here as well. And because they're easier fixtures, you may even get another attacking return in there if you're lucky. That's not why you bought the player. But yeah, I would expect, in all honesty, next 3 games, Højbjerg minimum 15 points, I would think. I say minimum. Let's say 14 or 13 in case you got yellows in there and stuff like that. He's always capable man of the match, probably less so in fixtures like that. Yeah, absolutely. He's a reasonable player to have. I know a number of people bought him last week. Absolutely fine with that. He should be very good Sky asset in the short term.
And the last question of the show, James, we're going to give to Rob Pick. You ready for this one?
Go on, Ed.
If Chilwell is now ruled out, is Alonso a bargain?
The answer is probably yes.
Yeah, well, yeah, I think the answer is definitely yes, isn't it, really?
It's probably yes, but then I need to look at certain things. I'll give you an example, right? There was one scenario where I said, how do I get off like Mbeumo, right? So I could not go there now. The difference in price between Mbeumo and Alonso is only 0.7, right? It's not like I'm going to lose that price. Mm-hmm. I could keep Mbeumo up to the Watford fixture and then move for Alonso walking into Leeds at home, Everton at home. On the Saturday following Brentford playing Watford. So I need to look at alternative ideas and different routes of how I may want to do it. Or I may just say, do you know what, sod it. I spent bloody ages on a new plan on Tuesday. I'm going to stick to that new plan. But I think when opportunity comes up, this is why it's always important to be flexible with the plan and understand that shit can change. And I think if Ben Chilwell is unfortunate and he's going to be out for a while, shit changes where Alonso becomes very interesting in that Chelsea line. And he's ordinarily, he's probably not the sort of player we'd recommend in Sky. But one, he's much cheaper than he should be if he's going to play every week. Two, their wingbacks are doing bits. Now, Chilwell's the better player. But if Alonso's going to play, I don't know, even 2 and 3, I'm so interested at that price.
And there we go. We've wrapped up all of the questions, if we haven't answered them already, in our regular spiel, including the captaincy chat. Stay tuned wherever you are listening to the podcast by hitting the subscribe button, and you'll get notified as soon as any content comes out. be back here this time next week to see if I can better my record this week and get even less than 7 points from 8 players.
Come and sing, make it happen. More fire, mate.
Can you imagine if I manage to get 6 from 8? If somebody's got less points, from 8 players in the previous game
week. What was your game week rank last week?
Leader.
I'm going to bet it wasn't that horrendous. There would definitely be players who scored less than you, mate.
63,000.
Yeah, I mean, that's pretty atrocious. But there'll be players who've gone Kane instead of Cancelo Sunday and stuff, mate. Yeah, so. That. Yeah, there'll be people in worse off position, no doubt.
No, we play for fun, and I hope you. Are
no, we don't. We play for the £50,000.
Yeah, we ain't winning it.
Not this year, no.
Listeners, thank you so much for your support. If you want to support the show even further, you can head over to patreon.com/planetFPL, where there's some additional content, Slack channels, prize leagues, and more available for you too. Other than that, leave me just to say, stay tuned for Clash of the Correspondents tomorrow. Adam 35, who is it? And Cy, Fitballer.
Yeah, Arsenal versus Newcastle, Clash of the Correspondents tomorrow. Adam has some very interesting stuff to say on Aubameyang, who's now in my plan to buy back, and I might need to cross that back out again.
Nice. Good. Stay safe, listeners. Thank you so much for your support again. Ciao for now.
Thanks, everyone. Be nice to each other. Good luck this game week. Cue music, please, man child.
The Fantasy Football Show.
Sports Social Podcast Network.